Bobby was frowning. "Kate, what new project are you talking about?" Was it possible Bobby really didn't know? She held Hiram's gaze, relishing her sudden power. "Significant enough for him to summon your brother back from France."
"Brother?"
"Significant enough for him to take on Billy Bob Meeks as an investment partner. Meeks, the founder of Revelation Land. Have you heard of that, Bobby? The latest mind-sapping, money-drinking perversion of religion to afflict America's wretched population of the gullible..."
"This is irrelevant,"
Hiram snapped.
"Yes, I'm working with Meeks. I'll work with anybody. If people want to buy my VR gear so they can see Jesus and his tap-dancing apostles, I'll sell it to them. Who am I to judge? We aren't all as sanctimonious as you, Ms. Manzoni. We don't all have that luxury."
But Bobby was staring at Hiram.
"My brother?"
Kate was startled and ran the conversation through her head again.
"Bobby, you didn't know any of this, did you? Not just about the project, but Hiram's other wife, his other child?"
She looked at Hiram, shocked.
"How could anybody keep a secret like that?"
Hiram's mouth pursed, and his glare at Kate was full of loathing.
"A half-brother, Bobby, just a half-brother."
Kate said clinically,
"His name is David."
She pronounced it the French way, David.
"His mother was French. He's 32, 7 years older than you, Bobby. He's a physicist. He's doing well. He's been described as the Hawking of his generation. Oh, and he's Catholic. Devout, apparently."
Bobby seemed not angry, even more baffled. He said to Hiram,
"Why didn't you tell me?"
Hiram said,
"You didn't need to know."
"And the new project, whatever it is, why didn't you tell me about that?"
Hiram stood up.
"Your company has been charming, Ms. Manzoni. The drones will show you out."
She stood.
"You can't stop me printing what I know."
"Print what you please. You don't have anything important."
And she knew he was right. She walked to the door, her euphoria dissipating quickly.
"I blew it," she told herself. "I meant to ingratiate myself with Hiram. Instead, I had to have my fun and make him into an enemy."
She looked back. Bobby was still seated. He was looking at her, those strange church window eyes open wide.
"I'll see you again," she thought.
Maybe this wasn't over yet. The door began to close. Her last glimpse was of Hiram covering his son's hand with his own, tenderly. 3. The Worm Works. Hiram was waiting for David Curzon in the arrivals hall at SeaTac. Hiram was simply overwhelming. He immediately grabbed David's shoulders and pulled him close. David could smell powerful cologne, synth tobacco, a lingering trace of spices. Hiram was nearing 70 but didn't show it, no doubt thanks to anti-aging treatments and subtle cosmetic sculpting. He was tall and dark, where David, taking after his mother, was more stocky, blonde, leaning to plump. And here was that voice David hadn't heard since he was 5 years old. The face, blue eyes, strong nose, that had loomed over him like a giant moon.
"My boy, it's been too long. Come on, we've got a hell of a lot to catch up on."
David had spent most of the flight from England composing himself for this encounter. "You are 32 years old," he told himself. "You have a tenured position at Oxford. Your papers and your popular book on the exotic mathematics of quantum physics have been extremely well received. This man may be your father, but he abandoned you and has no hold over you. You are an adult now. You have your faith. You have nothing to fear." But Hiram, as he surely intended, had broken through all David's defenses in the first 5 seconds of their encounter. David, bewildered, allowed himself to be led away. Hiram took his son straight to his research facility, the Worm Works, as he called it, out to the north of Seattle itself. The drive, in a smart drive Rolls, was fast and scary. Controlled by positioning satellites and intelligent in-car software, the vehicles flowed along the freeways at more than 150 kilometers an hour, mere centimeters between their bumpers. It was all much more aggressive than David was used to in Europe. But the city, what he saw of it, struck him as quite European, a place of fine, well-preserved houses with expansive views of hills and sea. The more modern developments integrated reasonably gracefully with the overall feel of the place.